Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 35, part 4 of Dreamcast. We have been talking about toxic relationships for the past 4 weeks, and this episode will be the conclusion in the series where we will discuss the life after the toxic relationship, after it's ended. What happens now? It's definitely hard to let go of someone you loved, someone you spent lots of time and energy on and with, but healing only happens when we acknowledge what happened, how it affected us, and make a decision to move forward and heal. It's very important that we accept that it is over and then make efforts to move on. Obviously, this is easier said than done. We're faced with memories and flashbacks and nights of tears and things that remind us of them, but we really have to, after, you know, allowing ourselves to feel those feelings, to then make a pointed effort to say, okay, you know, this ended for a reason. How can I move forward? When the relationship is over, we might feel like we have lost a lot of control over life. We might feel like we are on an emotional roller coaster, and a lot of times we are. We'll have days of, oh, I feel great now, I'm doing well, and then something will make us think of our exes or whomever, you know, the toxic person was. And but it's important, you know, that we to move on, that we end all contact or have extremely little contact, depending on what we feel we can handle. It's really hard to heal from a toxic relationship when we're still engaging in any way. Now, if you have kids with the person, obviously this can be difficult and we might not be able to end all contact, but by setting proper boundaries and then maintaining them, we can heal. It's important that we be compassionate with ourselves and offer ourselves grace, because, you know, we've been through a lot and are now in a different stage of life where we're trying to heal from something that was traumatizing, painful. And so we really need to forgive ourselves for what we didn't know, for our reactions, and accept what was, so that we can move on to what is and will be. Dating yourself is one of the greatest things that we can do after any relationship, but especially a toxic relationship. Doing the things that we know give us peace and happiness and joy. Everybody's medicine is different. For me, going to a nature preserve or roller skating or sleeping, if you know me, you know I love to sleep, and I love my bed, but you know, doing things in nature, just things that are distracting but also energizing in ways, and just spending time doing things that bring you happiness, because we really have a lot of emotional pain and suffering that we endured that we have to now heal from, just like with a physical sickness. Yoga, meditation, writing, acupuncture even, these are some ways that we can feel better, find some comfort. And don't forget spending time with people that love and support you, good friends and family, and people that are uplifting and can be a good source of emotional comfort and support at that time. But finding creative ways to spend your time is really important during or after, rather, a breakup with a toxic person. reconnecting with those who feel good to us and support us is really important. We want to reach out, if we can, to those who have shown to have our best interests in mind. This can really do wonders for our healing by having them around or just checking in here and there. I know when I've gone through different things, just a simple text from someone that you know cares about you and just them showing that they think about you and are thinking about you, and especially in your time of need, really goes a long way. So that's something that we can seek out from good friends and family and such. Some of us feel like we might need closure from a toxic person, but it really isn't common to get that. They don't usually take accountability for their actions, so you'd have to probably provide closure to yourself. Ways this can be done is by writing a letter that you don't send. This has been shown to help, you know, by telling them everything that you'd want to tell them face to face. This can help process the feelings and give validation to what you experienced. And then shredding the letter, speaking affirmations. Some people might want to burn the letter, or just sharing the experience with others. This can provide the closure we need. And you may have heard the expression that forgiving another is letting go of the poison that we might carry. Sometimes by not forgiving the person who caused us pain, we're the ones who end up hurt because we're holding on to resentment. So by forgiving them and forgiving ourselves for the harm caused, letting go of this resentment and then focusing on rebuilding, it can help heal us. It's definitely going to take time and effort. There'll be days we feel like we, you know, have a hold on things, and days where we feel like we don't even want to get out of bed. All of that is normal. But as time passes and we do the work to heal through no contact, productivity and such, things will improve. I don't just say as time passes, because time can pass, and yet if we're not doing the work, nothing will change. So it's important that we actually do something and take action to better ourselves. And when we do feel a way, we don't need to avoid it. We can feel the feeling and then let it go. Avoidance can cause it to become overwhelming at a later time. So it's really okay to allow ourselves to feel our feelings, because they're there for a reason. Dwelling on it is what we don't want to do. You know, we want to give it its time and then move on and reflect on how we can learn from the experiences that we went through. Now we're going to discuss starting that new relationship after the toxic relationship. What is that like? So what about that next relationship after the toxic relationship? What are some things that we need to be cautious and aware of in the new person? We want to be aware of someone being excessively jealous or possessive, controlling behaviors, people that disrespect our boundaries, people that are dismissive to others or treat others disrespectfully. Are they reliable? Are they inconsistent with your communication? Do they lack accountability for their actions? we want to pay close attention to how they handle conflict. Do they show empathy? Are they understanding? Do they respect your individuality and autonomy? Sometimes these things may not be noticeable, but something just feels off. And oftentimes when something feels off, it is. So we want to pay attention to that feeling. Now, because we were dealing with a toxic person prior, sometimes our off feeling can be because of a heightened heightened false instinct, or like a false positive, because we're kind of extra suspicious of people after dealing with someone that was toxic. And so we might just think that there's something they're definitely hiding, or there's something we're not seeing, and we could ruin something before it even starts. So we want to just really pay attention and try to be mindful of what it is that we are observing. And this is why it's important to really heal from that relationship, so that we're not bringing that those false projections into the next relationship or onto the next person. So obviously, yes, we want to trust our instincts, but also go off of what this person is showing us. What have they been consistent about? What does their pattern look like? You want to see if they are showing anything that could be potentially toxic, and not ignoring of things that really stick out as being problematic either now or in the future. We want to make sure that we aren't rushing the new relationship. We want to take things slowly so that we can truly get to know the new person. And by being open in our communication with them, we can really get to know them on a beneath the surface level, and they can get to know us the same. And this is how we start our relationship, on a basis of truth, openness, and vulnerability. While we're getting to know the new person, we still want to prioritize our well-being, and notice if our well-being matters to them as well, because we want to be with and around people that care for us as we do them and as we do for ourselves. Because if we care for ourselves, someone else should as well. So that's important to think about. There definitely will be a lot of fear and anxiety oftentimes when starting a new relationship after a toxic one, or any breakup for that matter. We have scars left over, and these can be things that affect us building trust, affect our self-esteem, and it can make loving another person challenging. It's obviously natural to be cautious when starting a new relationship, and we definitely should be. But, we have to remember that and tell ourselves that we deserve to be in a healthy, respectful relationship. So we need to make sure that we are wise when we choose the next partner, and we don't ignore warning signs. Ways we can do this are by making sure our communication is effective. We want to listen actively, express our concerns openly and honestly, and be patient with ourselves and them. Remember, we all come from different experiences, and learning a new person takes time, effort, and patience. So we really want to allow that to happen. Not thinking everything needs to happen at a quick pace just because they may fit our perfect or ideal partner. and then rushing things and missing out on the really establishing a good firm base in that relationship. There should be empathy and understanding displayed from both parties and positive communication, even during conflicts, especially during conflicts. That's really important because having disagreements and conflicts is really where we can see how the person handles things. Are they avoidant? Do they scream or yell? Are they do they handle it immaturely? Maybe name calling or anything like that. Those could be signs of toxicity. And we don't want to just pay attention to what is said, but how it's said, how we speak to them, how they speak to us. These things are very important. The tone that it's said in. Are things said in kindness and calmness? And the goal, obviously, in our communication should be to maintain peace, even during conflicts. Body language and, again, how things are said really impacts the message we're trying to convey. And we want to allow each other space and time for expression. Again, not rushing that. And this will really help establish a good foundation for the relationship that we're building. To be open and vulnerable after a toxic relationship can be very difficult. And that's because, you know, we have risks of being hurt or rejected. And we don't, you feel like you never really know a person after a toxic relationship, because it's like, if I can be fooled or whatever by someone that I thought loved me, then how much more so could this happen by this new person? So that's why we really want to be discerning when it comes to any people that we seek to build with, especially in a romantic relationship. But once we feel comfortable and feel that this new person can be trusted, we can embrace that openness in the relationship. Make sure we're being honest with them about our likes, our dislikes, our needs, concerns, and really embrace the new person in the new relationship. This is all crucial to building a healthy and fulfilling relationship. Both people feeling comfortable to be themselves and free to express their feelings and vulnerabilities. And with both parties doing so, the new relationship can grow and deepen into a lasting and fulfilling bond. Next, we're going to talk about triggers after a toxic relationship. So what about triggers? There's no way we will not have triggers after any relationship, but especially a toxic relationship. They will come and they will be challenging. The important part is how we deal with them. We have to really develop good coping mechanisms and be open with our partner about what our triggers are and how they can support us through them. So if, say they say they're going to call you back and, they don't call back and you don't hear from them till the next day. Now you're, overthinking, you're highly suspicious. And maybe this is because the prior person that we were dealing with, did something like this and they were hiding something. And so this time they didn't, the new person didn't call back, then we're freaking out and like, what's going on? And we're worried. So by letting the new person know ahead of time, look, I just really get triggered when words aren't held to And if you can't call me back or whatever, just let me know so I'm not, you know, overly affected by that, because I did experience something like that in my prior relationship and it really affected me negatively because they were doing things that they shouldn't be doing, blah, blah, blah. But by, you know, letting someone know this and by allowing them the opportunity to be proactive, we can really prevent a lot of negative effects from things that may trigger us. Now, this is not to say that we still won't have triggers, but by being open about what they are, we can save ourselves some pain and suffering. Being mindful and present in moments spent can help prevent flashbacks and help us stay grounded and aware of our emotions. Sometimes we're in a place and we're thinking of something else, someone else, something else. But by really being where we are, being with whom we're with, and enjoying those moments, whatever they are, we won't be triggered by memories, by flashbacks, or we can lessen that happening, rather, because it can still happen. But we want to do what we can to really be where we are. As we heal, we want to treat ourselves along the way. Maybe take ourselves on a trip, buy something we really like, enjoy a dessert that we love, but just doing whatever it is that is something like a treat to us to celebrate our progression and moving away from the past and letting go can be a little incentive to doing even more. It's always important to celebrate what seems like small wins, and that's how we get to the bigger win in the end. Healing after a toxic relationship definitely takes a lot of time and effort. We want to allow ourselves love, patience, forgiveness, and grace. Make sure that you prioritize your self-care and healing. Be discerning with those you choose to engage with in the future. Not everyone deserves to have you. Make sure that you're paying attention to both the good and bad signs that someone is or isn't right for you, and then act accordingly. Once trust is established, be open and vulnerable with your new relationship and stay present. Don't forget to celebrate your progression along the way. And by doing all of these things, the poison inflicted in that toxic relationship will be just a memory. Make your health, mind, body, and soul your priority. I want to thank you for listening to this episode, this final episode of this series of Dreamcast on toxic relationships, on poisonous relationships. And I hope that you have truly gained even a small something from it. I always do. I say this often, but a lot of times when I'm speaking to you guys, I'm speaking to myself to just give myself reminders and, you know, reflect on things I've experienced and ways I can be better, because without that, the experiences are just that. They don't do anything for us. And even though they were negative, something positive can come out of it, and that can be to prevent it in the future or just do better, meet better people. Better people in the way that they are right for us and to deserve our space and time and energy, because again, not everyone deserves that. And it's okay to be picky with whom we give ourselves to in whatever capacity, because time is not given back. There are no refunds on it, and neither is our energy. And that's not something that we should give away freely, no matter who it is. So again, thank you for listening to this episode of Dreamcast, and I hope everyone has a wonderful, positive, energy-filled day.